got a pitcher on our team.
Wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me the date?
I'm telling you, Logan.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you're going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen. Who is?
Now break your arm, you say.
Ron and Anian. The one vehicle that's going to test you, you don't know where or when, and you hang on to the part, and I said to myself, I'm going to need that. The Car Doctor, 69 Pontiac Trans Am. Ooh, it is a rare car, Edward. Original TA?
Matching numbers, my friend.
Oh, boy. White with a blue stripe?
Yep.
Ooh, I'll give you $10 for it.
You tack on a few zeros to that, and you got a deal.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, The Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
I suppose it's what you least expect to go wrong after you get the car serviced when it breaks again, that you never think, well, it can't be something that you did, right? Because I don't think you do. Rick was by with his Corvette a couple of weeks ago, 2000 Chevy Corvette. Nice car. You know, I never thought I'd say the day when a 2000 Corvette would just be a plain Corvette. You know, you look at what Corvettes are now and Z06s and everything else they've created. And it's just they've kept that sports car going for, 50, 60 years now, however long it's been. First one was, 54, 53? I think 53. I think they made 653. I don't know, but it's been a while. So Rick came in with his Corvette a while back, and about a month and a half ago, and it had a couple odds and ends going on. It had a check engine light, a P0135, needed an O2. It had some faults in the exhaust system, needed repair, and a couple other things. And, long and short of it is, we spent $1,000. We put the Corvette in shape and down the road. And I guess it's human nature, the part where the customer always says, so I guess I'm good for a while, right? And I never answer that question by saying yes. I say what we did is fixed. What we did, you won't have a problem with. Because that's all a mechanic can really say. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If we were that smart, if we were that psychic, if we had the all power of all knowing all the time, oh, Obi-Wan, help me, you're my only hope, we'd be sitting at the right hand of God. Sometimes you wish you were to fix cars today. So long and short of it is, Rick left. He seemed happy. He was happy. And about 6 weeks later, matter of fact, after last Saturday's show, I looked at the cameras on the shop, and all of a sudden I see Rick's Corvette there. Uh-oh. Now you got to sit there and wonder, right? And maybe my wife's right. Maybe I shouldn't look at the shop on Saturday and see what's going on because, maybe closed is closed and you're supposed to be closed and just don't think about it. You're closed. But I do, because that's my nature, because I guess that's where my mind is all the time. And I saw Rick's Corvette and I thought about it Saturday night, and I went to bed Saturday night last week, a week ago, and I said, I'm not going to think about this anymore. Whatever it is, it is. I can't see it being anything we did. I'd gone over the repair in my head, and, the diagnosis was rock solid. But you're human and you have those moments of doubt, right? Sunday came and went, and I really just ignored it in the back of my mind, but it was there gnawing at me a little bit. And I said, you dope, you're going to get up Monday, you're going to go to work, and you're going to find out it's got nothing to do with what you did. Monday morning came around, we got the shop rolling, and Monday mornings are always busy at the shop, and this Monday was no exception last week, and we got it together, and it was around 10:30, 11 o'clock when I finally got, the time to walk outside with Rick's key, and the car was stone dead. Absolutely nothing. And I read Rick's note, and he talked about how the battery had gone dead. Okay, I believe that because I'm experiencing it. And it all seemed to happen rather suddenly. And isn't this like the first repair we did for him? And I had to think back about 3 years ago. We did an alternator. We diagnosed this electrical drain on this Corvette that nobody else seemed to be able to diagnose. It had a bad alternator, and we changed the alternator out. And the problem was solved for, it's been 2.5 going on 3 years. I've got a problem with a bad new part. I don't like to say it either. And, as easy as it is to jump on it, let's diagnose it. Let's go through this one step at a time. So I called Rick up. I interviewed him like I always interview somebody. And I got as much information as I could out of him, but I guess I didn't get it all. Because we went through the car, the battery was completely discharged, completely stone dead. I think it had 0.2 of a volt in it. And understand, if a battery is bad, you'll see a battery, my experience, I've never seen a bad battery go below 6 or 7 volts. It gets down to about 6 or 7 volts, it seems, in my world, in my corner of New Jersey, and the battery just sort of stops working, stops discharging, stops dropping voltage. That's it. But when you leave a headlight on or a light on or an electrical drain, it will just drain that battery down to zilch, zero. And I said, I know I've got a drain here. And, you know, because there are times you are going to follow your hunches and your assumptions. That's what you're supposed to do when you've been twirling wrenches for 45 years almost. And you've got to go with your gut. And sometimes your gut just knows more than the rest of you. But yet, when I checked it, the car had no draw. There was no draw on this car. There was no reason, once I charged the battery back up and got the car running, that this car would actually have a dead battery. And I let it sit in the bay and, you know, just walked over to second bay. I let it sit in third for a while. And every once in a while, every couple of hours, I'd walk over and I had my thermal camera in hand, and I had the covers off the relay box, and I would shoot, you know, the relays, is anything warm? I would shoot the alternator. I would shoot, you know, everything I could think of. Is anything warm? Is anything active? Because I hate intermittent drains, right? You're sitting there trying to find this draw. And what's the first thing you do? You got to open the door to the car. You got to pop the hood. Now you've activated things. You've turned electronic circuits on and off. You know, all of a sudden you maybe you create the problem into a different problem and you miss the original. You're trying to keep the car as docile as possible. You know, talk to me, baby. Just, you know, you got to become the car whisperer and tell me, you know, where does it hurt? Nothing. Car was fine. I guess it's easy. You could sit there and say, the customer's crazy. It's their problem. They did something wrong. They left something on. But not Rick. Rick's, you know, he's a Corvette owner. Most of the Corvette owners I've ever met, you know, they're in tune. They know the car. They're into it. They're aware of their surroundings. They can chew gum and walk at the same time. You know, and I say that sort of tongue in cheek, but they're just into cars. You know, most of the Corvette owners are, you know, they know what it is. It's a Corvette. They get it. So I called him up one more time and we had another conversation. And he mentioned to me that he noticed the problem, which he failed to mention this the first time. Nice touch, Rick. Right after he had the car detailed and washed. And he kept talking about this vanity light. And I finally caught it. You know, I'm so right brain sometimes, I don't hear what people say and I have to listen extra hard. And I finally said, what vanity light are you talking about? He goes, you know, the one above the sun visor. Oh, the vanity light. I said, what about the vanity light? He said, well, when I got in the car after they washed it, they had left the cover off. I went, okay. And he says, but I snapped it back in place. And I thought about it for a couple of minutes. And I said, wait a minute. After I'd gotten off the phone with him, that's not a removable cover. Why was the vanity cover on the passenger side front seat? And then I realized they broke it. They broke the, you know, remember GM cars back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s? And I think they're still like this today. You open the sun visor and you flip open the lid. So the light lights up and you can look in the mirror to put your makeup on, your lipstick, see how cute you look, you know, is your mustache square, you know, all the good things. So I opened up the right-hand visor and sure enough, the cover's missing. Well, actually, Rick had put the cover back in place, but it was missing that it wasn't laying on its mark after I moved it. And then I realized what was going on. So I took the car for a ride. I put the cover on just as Rick had done. And sure enough, when I came back, the cover had vibrated just enough that it was laying just off the contact, the close. And when I looked at it, I turned out the lights in the shop. I could see a little bit of light peeking out from underneath the visor. And that made all the sense in the world. It wasn't related to something we did. We just happened to be the lucky guys that touched it last. So right away, the blame always falls on us. So it was a case that the detail guy broke the visor, didn't say anything, thought it was, I don't know what he thought, and just left it for Rick on the seat. Rick didn't know any better until he realized what it was. And sure enough, it drained the battery down to zip. So the end result was we pulled the visor down. We haven't even checked. I don't even think the visor is available from GM anymore. It's a car's 21 years old. So we're going to start searching for it. But in the meantime, we simply unscrewed the visor, pulled it down from the headliner, disconnected it, problem solved, and away we go. Mr. Ray.
So wait a minute.
Yeah.
They broke his vet and he wasn't upset?
They broke his vet and he wasn't upset.
What's the matter with him?
I don't know. Well, I think Rick gets it, you know, in the sense that he realizes that people are just idiots today and they're irresponsible. And he's going to go back and say something. But, you know, one thing I've learned about Rick, he'll complain about the bill, but he knows when it leaves me, it's fixed.
Correct.
And it's his nature, I think, to, you know, some people just like to complain. It makes them feel better. It feels they're it. And as long as it's not an assault on us.
They're not happy unless they're complaining about something.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, you know, and listen, if that's how you want to go through life, that's okay. Just pay me. All right. I'm going to fix your problem. Pay me. Is he going to go back to the detail guy? Probably. Is he going to get anywhere? Probably not. Because if the guy was responsible, listen, if the guy was responsible in the first place, gee, Rick, we broke your sun visor. How can we make this better? Okay? But he didn't think to do that. He just laid it on the seat. So right away, he's telling you he doesn't think it's his responsibility. Now, the other side of this is it's a 20-plus-year-old car. Is that plastic cover brittle? And, you know, was it done with malicious intent? Was somebody fooling around with it? Or was it just he was trying to clean under the visor and the brittle plastic just went snap? And that can happen, too. So, you know, but it's how you handle it. It should have been, hey, Rick, this broke, it fell off. I guess it was old. And, you know, it all comes back to, Tom, you know, one of the first things I teach mechanics when I was training mechanics back in the beginning was when you get in a customer's car, touch as little as possible. Turn it on, start it up, put it in gear, shut up and drive. All right. Don't listen to the radio. Don't play with the seat. Don't, you know, adjust the mirrors if you don't have to. The less you touch, the better off we are. The less you're going to break. And whenever you bring the car into the shop, open the driver's window. All right. And that way, if you ever lock the keys in the car, we can get into the car. That worked for a while. And then one day we did this, that. There's another story for another time because we're going to go to break in a sec. And we put the window down and it fell into the door. And that brings me to the question of whose fault is it? If you open a window and the window falls in the door, is it because the age of the car? Is it because it was your turn in the barrel? You know, there's nothing malicious about pushing the power window button down. It just happens. And I'll have to think about how I solve that problem when we come back because I don't remember the answer. I remember the car. It was Brandon White. It was an 84 Toyota Camry. That's how long ago it happened. All right. So I'll have to think about the answer. I'll have to think about what happened to that. Anyway, 855-560-9900, Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. Tom Ray in studio today. We'll tell you that story when we come back right after this. Don't go away.
Keep Ron's number handy, 855-560-9900, for when you really need advice on your car. Here's Ron.
Hey, you know, real quick, Steve from Jacksonville, Florida, he's got that repair shop down there. He's writing me back again an email. Hey, Ron, have you been using your 1234YF machine from Mala? If so, what's some of the features that you really like? Can you tell me about it? I'm just about to make my decision, and I think I'm going to go with what you did, but I want to hear it from the boss. I'll tell you what, Steve, and thanks for the compliment. I appreciate you considering me the boss here, so to speak, but we're all in this together, brother. Two things. Number one, you know, it's goofy stuff, but it's such a well-thought-out machine, the ACX2280 that I've got, in that there's LED lights on the machine, and you can see what the machine is doing from anywhere in the shop because they're so bright and so well laid out. The other thing that kind of got my attention was the other day it needed a software update, and I had a problem doing it. So they were able to connect. I called up for customer support. I was able to, you know, call up customer support, and they were actually able to dial into the AC machine and help move it along for the software download, and the customer support was second to none. So very good stuff. I'm very happy with it. We'll continue to use it. I almost look forward to more broken AC cars because the Mahle machine just makes it easy. If you got any more issues or any more questions, Steve and anybody else, get out to servicesolutions.mahle.com. Oh, and I got a note here from Tom. Tom, what is it about baseball? Says, you got a note here on my desk that says, don't forget baseball.
As you know, the other day, or maybe you don't know, because I'm not a big baseball fan, but they're playing baseball again. The season has started, finally.
Okay.
And I had to put on the Mets-Yankees game the other day when they were at Shea Stadium because while they don't have fans in the stands, they have cardboard cutouts of fans.
You know, you're back one day. I already know you're causing trouble.
Well, that gave me an idea for you.
Oh, no.
I've ordered you a cardboard cutout of me. You can stand here during the show when we're not sitting here in the studio together.
Oh, I like that. A dartboard.
There you go. See? Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
No, did you really?
Huh?
Did you really?
Yeah.
What do they cost?
I don't know.
Oh.
I haven't gotten the bill yet. But it was worth it to have me staring at you.
You know, it is weird to have you back. It's been what? 4 months?
Yeah, 4 months. It's weird to have me back. It's weird for me to be standing here in the control room. I haven't touched any of this for 4 months.
Right. And, you know, it's even weirder to watch baseball. When I stopped at the deli to get lunch for us this morning, I walked into the deli and they had replays of the games on. And it's so strange. I'm looking at it and you're right. They had these cardboard cutouts. And I guess they're piping in the fans making noise.
Yeah, they've got some guy sitting there hitting buttons on a button wall on a computer. So if somebody makes a play, they'll bring the crowd up and the crowd will react. And it's like,
Right. Really? you know, so I guess if we get around to playing football and it's Jets games, nobody will ever say anything because can there be anything to cheer about there?
Well, I don't think they'd be able to record what most Jets fans say during the game, but anyway.
Right. They would be upset. So we'll wait to get to there. I'm a longtime Jets fan, suffering Jets fan. Let's get over to Steve in New Jersey, 03 Dodge, and some comments and questions. Steve, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help? Steve? Steve going once. Steve going twice. Tom, did you fix the phone machine? All right, let me do it this way then. I want to go back and address a question from Dodge last week. And Dodge was talking to us. He had called in from Delaware, I believe it was, a 14 Jeep Grand Cherokee, had to service the transmission. And I did some research this week. This was the 8F45 something or other transmission from Chrysler with the special trans filter kit built into the trans pan. You know, Dodge made an interesting comment. And it seems there is no good way to service that trans, and they don't want that trans serviced. And interestingly, I found a bulletin from Chrysler that talks about, bulletin number 22-01-001-18 that talks about Chrysler fluid flushing, how they don't want any of it done. And I'll talk about it when I return. I'm Ron Ananey and the Car Doctor. Don't go away. We're back right after this. Car Doctor. So to continue this real quick before we go to the phones, Chrysler actually came out with a bulletin about 2 years ago that talks about fluid flushing and how they don't want it done. And I'm quoting FCA, which is Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. Fiat Chrysler Automobile vehicle fluid systems do not require regular flushing. These systems include engine oil, trans oil, axle lube, brake fluid, power steering, and refrigerant. The only exceptions to this requirement are published in the vehicle maintenance schedules as needed. Exceptions to this recommendation include only those instances where a malfunction has occurred. FCA also does not recommend aftermarket chemicals to flush engine, transmission, brake, or steering systems. And their concern is damage to seals, damage to components, because it has to meet Chrysler spec and standard. So it makes the case and it makes the point that how do you service Chrysler transmission fluid on some of these vehicles? One thing I did discover, which, well, I guess I didn't discover it, I knew it, is that the fluid used in that 8-speed transmission in that 14 Jeep Grand Cherokee is very specific. It's not ATS plus 4. It is basically the same fluid that's in the BMWs and the Audis and the German cars of that vintage. So it's very expensive. It's never supposed to be changed. And... you know, we've entered the days of, I guess, really planned obsolescence. When it blows up, you'll either replace the whole thing or you'll just replace the whole vehicle. And, you know, just an interesting scenario. You wonder where they're going with this. But I'll keep on this Dodge and everybody else. I'll get you some answers on how the factory wants that trans service. There's got to be a way. I'll keep digging. Let's go over to the phones once again. Let's try and see if Steve's there. Steve, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Ron. How are you?
Good, sir. What's going on?
Yeah. You talk about replacing the whole thing. I have a 2003 Dodge pickup. It's only 125,000 miles. Runs like a clock.
Okay.
But it has a couple of bad spots on the frame that are rust.
Bad how, Steve? Like it's starting to just rust? Is it you can drive your finger through it? Or?
No. Yeah. There's one spot you probably put two fingers through it.
Okay.
And another one... it's getting weak, you know.
Right.
But there's different spots, but the truck runs like a clock. It's just beautiful.
Right.
You know.
Well, first of all, in New Jersey, and I have to think about this statement, but I'm going to make it anyway. In New Jersey, it may very well be illegal to patch a frame. I don't know what the standard is. Years ago it was, and then I think they backed off on it. And it depends on exactly where is it. Is it structural? Is it... you know, more of a cosmetic holding a body mount type of an area. And I think there was some standard set. So you might be able to patch and repair it. But I'm kind of surprised that the frame is so badly rusted in spots, yet the floor pan and the bottom of the truck isn't.
Well, I mean, you have spots of it. The guy that owned it before me went down the shore. He had a boat.
Right.
And... he would drive the truck into the water and release the boat. And he said he washed it off all the time, but you know, I'm paying for it right now. But
right.
It's just I'd hate to see it just
continue
get off the road. You know, it's just rides like a rides beautiful. It's 125,000 miles on it. It doesn't burn oil. Nothing's wrong with it.
All right.
Except the frame.
So you want to paint the frame is what you're telling me.
Well, I have to do something about the holes, though, in the frame.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, you'll have to talk to a body shop or a welder, or a fabricator to see if they can plate that and patch it and repair it, depending upon where they're located. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get past that, then you've got to paint it. And everybody ultimately always asks, what do we paint it with? You know, there's a bunch of products out there. There's Pour 15. There are some other chassis restoration products available from companies like Eastwood. You know, my experience has been that everything else is, they're tough to work with. They're tedious. They're time consuming. And they work great. But the setup and the prep time to me is too complicated and too involved. I've been using Benjamin Moore Low Luster Alkalide, DTM, I think it's DTM 619, 648, I forget. We've got a picture of it up on the Car Doctor Facebook page. I know that. Tom's going to go and look and find it, but you can go on Facebook and find it there. We took a picture of it and posted it a while back because everybody was asking about it. And this stuff works great. Now, Benjamin Moore Low Luster is not a rust preventative. It is sold as a rust inhibitor. All right.
Okay.
You know, and that's the difference. The Pour 15 product, the Eastwood products, those are rust preventatives. At this stage in the game, and there's a huge cost difference between these products too. At this stage in the game, I'm thinking for my money, I would get myself a portable spray gun, or if you have a spray gun, get it up in the air. Mix up some Benjamin Moore, cut it with about 5% lacquer thinner, put on a mask and go to town and just spray it all, you know.
There are a couple of guys I know that have a lift, and they don't even want to put the truck up on the lift.
Well, then, Stevie, maybe this is worse than you actually think. You know, if the professionals are telling you the frame is that bad, you know, what are we trying to save here?
You know, I would tell you that, you know, the guy to judge this, maybe not so much the mechanical guy. Do you have a body shop that you trust?
No, not really. I haven't used one.
I would try and find a body shop that would get it up on a rack and take a look at it, because I think the body shop would be able to give you a much fairer, you know, body shops are going to be the ones that do more frame repair than, you know, more frame repair than mechanical shops. Right, and they can give it a better evaluation. Tom tells me that it's DTM, Benjamin Moore DTM Low Luster Black P23 Space 80. I remember that right, P2380. And you can get it at any Benjamin Moore paint store. It's actually the paint that, you know, if you were going to paint mom and dad's or grandma and grandpa's metal lawn furniture, that's my understanding of what it came out to be. We've just kind of adapted it to make it work with cars. And
It kind of holds up pretty well.
Oh yeah, it holds. It's been on every hot rod I've built in the last 15 years. And yeah, I admit black doesn't go out in bad weather, but it shows no signs of aging. It's actually on the Monte Carlo, which will be driven once I start driving it in everyday weather. And you know, I expect to get 5 or 7 years out of it. And if I get 7 years out of that paint, then I have to hit it again. That's not the worst thing in the world. So, you know, in the case of this truck, it's an 03. If you got 7 years out of this 03, you know, where are we? You're a 2026. You think you're going to have this thing 6 years from now, 7 years from now?
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so.
Right. So, you know, and there's to my point, a $30 to $40 can of paint, a couple of hours on a lift versus some of these other products that are $200-$300 and extensive prep time. You know, if a shop was doing it, it's $1,000 worth of time and material versus $300 worth of time and material. And that becomes part of the thought process, too. All right?
Okay, Ron. Good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome, Steve. You have a good rest of the day. I hope it works out for you. 855-560-9900. I'm Ron Anani, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're on the name of the Car Doctor. You know, Tom, have you ever noticed, it's completely off subject, I was drinking water during the break of my Poland Spring bottle of water. Do you realize some engineer got paid a lot of money to this built-in safety seal? Look at this. It's a wide white, and then when you open it up, it goes to a red seal.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that before.
They spent, and it says, before opening, thin white space in red safety seal. After opening, wider white space in red safety seal. Are we so stupid we can't tell the difference when a bottle of water is open and closed?
But did you notice that they didn't specify how wide the space is at any time?
Is this what this country is coming to?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't tell when the bottle of water is open, and you guys expect me to fix cars and get it right every time?
Of course we do, because you're the car doctor.
I think I'm underpaid. Boy, the little things catch my attention. Quick
now,
email.
If you just get one that prevents you from dribbling it all down your shirt, we'll be all set.
Well, you know, then I'd be set for TV. Then I could do that. Coming soon to a station near you. Hey, Bob's Auto Repair down in Amarillo, Texas Way is writing in. Hey, Ron, we're having a problem. We notice a lot of cars down here from time to time. We've got to do some key programming, and we're looking around at various products. Do you have any experience? Do you have any insight on things we could be looking at? The factory OE level programmers get to be very expensive, and there's so many spread out over so many manufacturers. Bob, I guess it would be Bob from Bob's Auto Repair down Texas Way, right? It wouldn't be Fred, although there might be a Fred there. In all seriousness, Bob and everybody else, get out to AutelTech.com. Take a look at what Autel has. They're one of the industry's leaders in a lot of ways in scan tool, and they've broken ground in the last couple of years. They've got something called a Maxim, M-A-X-I, Maxi IM Maxim IM608 model is their top of the line key programmer, and it's got a universal language, so to speak, key programming module built into it, and it will work on up to 80 different vehicle manufacturer lines, allowing you to program keys, which is a big deal, right? You know, keys get to be very expensive, and it's a very difficult time, especially when you need one in the shop. But more information available for you and everybody else at AuteltTech.com. Thanks, Bob. And by the way, welcome to the Car Doctor family. I know Amarillo is a new market for us. We're glad to be there for you, and we thank you for that. So just very good and important stuff. That's the deal. That's what that's all about. The other thing I wanted to mention, and this one comes to us, as long as we're doing emails, I'm just looking for my email here a second. This one comes to us from Fred down in Louisville, Kentucky. Ron, I'm looking for transmission fluid for my older Ford and Chrysler products, and I don't seem to be able to find it. It seems like a lot of the parts stores are converting to one style of transmission fluid, one size fits all, so to speak, I think is what Fred's trying to say. And I'm a little perplexed because I'd rather find the exact fluid that my vehicle calls for rather than trying to use some universal fits all. Fred. Fred, it's becoming a problem. They're trying to shrink and scale down on fluids, right? Less stocking numbers. We can make one stock number fit five different applications. It's less to ship, less to keep on the shelf. And that's an issue. Certain things that works, all right? We don't need 72 choices on different kinds of toilet paper. However, when it comes to trans fluid, maybe we want the exact type. Maybe we want the exact thing built to the exact spec. And that's what the market still dictates and demands because, especially on older cars, it's getting harder to find parts and they're expensive to fix. Get a look at Valvoline, valvoline.com. Go look at their trans fluid product line, all right? They list everything from their normal plus 4 ATF right up to Mercon LV, right up to the newer GM DEX 6 and the older GM DEX Merc ATF. They've got it all. And they're very specific, and they've kept their products very specific to meet all the different vehicle manufacturer demands. And I think they're worth taking a look for. You'll find that at valvoline.com. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. We're coming back right after this. Back, Ron Anini, the Car Doctor. You know, it's funny. I was, you know, when I have nothing to do, I figured I'd read about auto repair because what else would the Car Doctor do, right? And as I sat up in bed the other night reading, I was on the Mitchell One website, MitchellOne.com, and I was reading some of the recent Real Fix Sure Track repairs. And it talked about, well, I'll tell it to you like this, as stopping the journey, doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result is usually insanity. That's right. That's the definition. In a repair shop, it's called losing money. That smoke you see is the money we're burning, as we like to say. This vehicle in question on this Mitchell Real Fix Sure Track repair was a 2013 Dodge Journey. And the problem was the brake pedal went to the floor and they had bled the brakes. We should say that three times fast. They had bled the brakes several times and they got nowhere fast. Well, it was their diagnostic steps is what interested me, right? They were pressing on the brake pedal as it described, and it caused the pedal to go all the way to the floor. When first pressed, the brakes would grab and they were touchy, but then the pedal would just drop down. They scanned it for codes and found no codes, no leaks, no signs of damage. They put a master cylinder in it, flushed the brakes, bred the brake lines in the ABS unit. There was power to the ABS controller, but the brake pedal would still go down after the master replacement. Is the ABS acting up and not throwing a code? The question was that somebody had asked along the way, because Mitchell, the SureTrack fix, allows forum conversation so repair shops can talk amongst themselves. And the best answer that the forums came was run the automated bleed procedure several times with a scan tool. You see, and it's funny, we were just talking about this last week, right, with the Chevy Tahoe that we had to deal with, that we had to run the ABS bleed procedure a couple of times. You know, I'm finding as vehicles age, it seems you've got to think way outside the box the older the vehicle is, because a lot of the repair procedures are written, you know, for vehicles that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. I question, after 7 or 8 years, parts are a little more worn, things are a little bit more spread, things are a little bit more tired, everything isn't what it once was, and you have to maybe take the procedure and apply a 10 or 15% circumference to it and say, how much more could I do? Could I bleed that ABS controller again? Would it hurt anything? You know, my theory is if you can do a procedure to a vehicle and the cost factor isn't huge and the time factor isn't huge and you can't hurt it, then what's the harm? Because sometimes you've got to just continue to go. It's how much air is in that ABS controller? Is that ABS controller a little gummed and varnished up where it doesn't respond as clean and fresh doing a bleed procedure as it would be when it was 2 years old versus 8? And I think that has a lot to bear. And in the end, doing this bleed procedure several times with a scan tool fixed this vehicle, as the Mitchell One Sure Track fix points out, bled brakes multiple times until the pedal no longer went to the floor. The brakes work as they should. And I thought to myself, you know, I just ran into this on a Chevy Tahoe, and I said, once again, the Mitchell 1 and Mitchell1.com, Mitchell 1 Sure Track Fix really does the job. It's And that's part of what auto repair is. That's a huge part now, because as cars continue to evolve, as the technology gets wider and deeper, we've got to reach out and talk to one another, and we've got to share our problems and look for, you know, multiple points of, hey, this works, that worked, how did I fix it, and what could I do to, you know, avoid that problem again in the future. That's learning, and that's mechanics in this century. Hey, till the next time, I'm Ron Anini, the Car Doctor, reminding you this time, till the next time, every time, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.